offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. And so today we continue in our Back to Basics. What is unity? Last week, we talked a little bit about how when someone asks us that question, we often find ourselves explaining what unity is not, rather than what unity is. And our teachings are so simple and yet so powerful, that's truly a disservice. For the individuals asking out of curiosity, they want to know, perhaps they've been a witness to you. They see how you behave around people, how you treat others, and they want to know. But we find ourselves humming and hawing about the differences between us and our fellows in Christianity. And we talked a little bit about how we say that we don't have doctrine. We do. We have the five basic unity principles. Doctrine is simply teachings, principles. What we don't have is dogma. We do not have teachings that say, you must believe this. They are not authoritative. They are not, you can't come through these doors if you don't believe in this. We are inclusive. We are inviting folks into our teachings. And so we began with our first unity principle, which we speak together every week. There's one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent. We say it every week. And we looked a little bit last week about how that actually plays out in our lives. For we are similar to our ancestors, our Israelites. Our Israelites lived in a many-godded culture where they as a minority believed in one power and one presence. And all the other cultures, large and small, had many gods. And they were warned, you cannot hold this worldview of one presence and one power and then cling to these behaviors and these practices that say there are more than one God. And they were challenged with that, for they were always being persecuted and invaded and carried off somewhere else and tried to live within the culture that they found themselves, tried to get along with their neighbors, and may have found themselves in practices that were not true to who they were. And so we looked at our own lives. Where might this be possible that we've created other gods? Gods of our own creation. And we looked a little bit at our ego. For our ego, we blame for a lot. You know, I didn't do that. My ego wouldn't let me. My ego prevented me. My ego made me say that. As if our ego has some separate power distinctly away from us, not part of us. And our ego is what drives us to believe all the marketing that goes on in the Western culture, where we make gods out of youth and beauty, and that if we just buy this, if we buy this car, if we drive this car, we'll be happy. If we purchase this product, this wine. And we're very guilty in this, our culture of, and really, it's more than a Western culture now. It's kind of a worldwide marketing, this seeking, our ego seeking to be satisfied in something outside of ourselves. And our ego just wants to protect us. It's there to survive. It's a survival mechanism. And so as we live on this earthly plane of duality, of night and day, hot and cold, the sun, the moon, the land, the sea, there's duality all around us, and so it takes effort then to not also believe there's God the good and devil the bad. Only in our minds. The only evil or separation that exists is our failure to remember that God is within us and within all. And our mantra last week was, and we're not scaredy cats. We're willing to do the work. For unity is work. We call it love work, but unity is work. We leave here on Sunday, we leave our classes and our workshops, and we then have the work to do, to ferret out. We ferret out, where might we be holding other gods? Where are we giving our power away? What do we need to explore and heal in order to learn and grow more, grow spiritually more? And this week, we're exploring the second of our unity principles. Our second unity principle says, our essence is of God, therefore we are inherently good. The Spirit of God lives within all people, therefore all people are inherently good. I'm going to break that down into four pieces, and I'd like you to repeat that after me. Our essence is of God. Our essence is of God. Therefore, we are inherently good. Therefore, we are inherently good. The Spirit of God resides in all people. The Spirit of God resides in all people. So all people are inherently good. All people are inherently good. I like the kids' version. The kids' version of the first unity principle is, God is. The kids' version of the second one is, I am. Easy to remember. But this powerful second principle is so personally affirming and uplifting. It's the most individually powerful of all the unity principles. To hold this awareness. I recall the first time I really got it in a unity church, that the divine essence, the Christ consciousness, was within me. I think I cried for, you know, like weeks. Like every time I walked into church, I cried. And it still brings tears to my eyes when I sit in that awareness. It is so delicious, so yummy, so powerful. And this second unity principle really has three plus parts. So the first part is, our essence is of God. That awareness of the I am, that awareness that we have never been separate from God, can never be separated from God, will never be separated from God. That any time we felt abandoned or alone or unworthy, lacking, in fear, we either didn't know yet or we forgot that that essence is right here within us. Yes, it's out here, and it's right here, and all we have to do is turn within. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But boy, when we're in the middle of the muckety-muck, it's easy to forget, and that's one of the reasons we have each other, to remind us, to support us in the stuff that we go through, for we go through stuff. The second part of that principle is, therefore, we are inherently good. Inherently good. Well, I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised with the constant message, singular focus of, I was inherently good. And there's a wide spectrum of the messages that we receive as children. And remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago, how a young person's mind is so easily imprinted. They believe everything they hear. And even if within our own home we were affirmed, as soon as we left those doors and went to school, there were other kids there. And they had different ideas, and there were well-meaning adults. I'll remember many, many years ago, when my son was about two, his uncle came to visit his father's brother. And Lee had done something that two-year-olds do. And his uncle said, don't do that. You're a bad boy. Oh, he's lucky to be alive. My mother lioness's instincts leapt out of me, and he soon became aware that you're never to label my children. You can correct them, but you are never to label my children. But we get labeled soon enough, just so not intended, just so offhandedly. We're trying to tie our shoes, you know, we're trying to learn how to do things, and we're told we're too slow, or we're trying to learn how to feed ourselves, and we're messy, or we're sloppy, or we're clumsy. Those things come up, and we believe them. We believe them. Now, in my home, my parents were pretty good about giving positive messages, although I do remember one that was, how can you be so smart in school and not have any common sense? Yeah. That was later in life, but not as a little one. Yeah, I lacked common sense for a few years there. But there were things that occurred in my young life. It'll be part of a talk someday. There's things that occurred within my family and my young life that I very clearly received the message, even if it was an internal one, that I was to be good, that I was to please my parents, I was to make my parents happy, for they were going through a very sad time. And so I was a good girl, and I made good grades, and I did the right things, and I behaved myself. That's not inherent goodness, is it? That's doing something. That's being a certain way in order to be accepted and loved. And I'm not saying my parents impressed that upon me, but that was what I believed, was I needed to do all the right things. And so this message of inherent goodness is like a breath of fresh air. It's who we are, inherent goodness. And then the third part of that principle, the third message is everyone else carries within them that essence of God. Therefore, they are inherently good. So that opens our heart. That opens our mind to our entire world. All of a sudden, there's a oneness that we're aware of that perhaps was not there before. For as we develop as little ones, we mimic everything that our parents do. We don't grow up fearing that which is not like us. But within a short period of time, we do. They don't speak like us. They don't dress like us. They don't look like us. And so there's a fear that comes deep within us that we develop ourselves with the help of society, with the help of our culture. And so to know that we are all inherently good, that we all carry this beautiful essence of goodness, holds that oneness, that beautiful element of oneness for us. One of our very own, Fabiola, who I happen to notice is not here this morning, she just spent a week with 1,000 volunteers in Nicaragua. They were seeing their world, their oneness, much greater than within their own family. They were reaching out to the world. And we turn to Scripture for support. We find Scripture both in the Christian Scriptures in the New Testament and in the Hebrew Scriptures. So from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And as we turn to the Hebrew Scriptures, to the Old Testament. This is a unity favorite from Psalm 133, the first verse. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers, and we will add, and sisters, dwell in unity. Dwell in unity. And so how do we increase our awareness of every aspect of this second unity principle? I have three suggestions. The first is always meditation. If this is not part of your practice, this is the time to commit to a meditation practice, to set aside time each day to go within, to release your attachment to distractions and to connect with that inner divine. And if it's already your practice, maybe increase it by 10 minutes. People will say, well, how long do I meditate? 30 minutes is great. But if you've not done it before, start with 12 and then build from there. But commit to this practice, this devotional of going within in meditation. The second suggestion is to be in nature. I know it's hot. It's Key West. It's hot. But early in the morning, later in the evening, somewhere where there's shade, bask in all that nature is giving us, the energy of fresh air, the energy that uplifts us, that reminds us the world is alive and we're part of it. And then the third suggestion, and Danny and I have been talking about this quite a bit lately, is to find space on your calendar that you can commit to true time in the silence. When Denny and I were at Unity Village, we would do 24 hours of silence on a regular basis. We've talked about trying to find a space of 24 hours that neither he nor I are committed to be in communication with the outside world. It's a little tricky, but it will happen. And that silence is silence. There's no television, there's no computer, there's no phone, there's no Facebook. There's no texting. There's really very little reading, for those are all distractions. Although, if you need some devotional reading to take you into meditation, but it's 24 hours of silence and just being. And I think it's something that we can place on our calendar so that if we as a church would like to do that together, we can have our little signs that say, I'm in the silence, so that if you go, you know, out among other people, they know. It's a gift. It's a practice of beingness, of total beingness, of just being aware of the divine within, the divine within all, and truly letting go of all distractions. And we can do this because we're not scaredy cats, right? We have the desire to be awake and aware, and spiritually growing, spiritually thriving. And so the song that Tim chose this morning, going into meditation, that ended with, we are the light of the world. I'd like to comment on that essence within us, for sometimes we hear it referred to as a spark, or a light, or a flame. We are the light of the world. We possess within us Christ's consciousness that it is a brilliant, bright light of loving energy. And our humanness is simply a veneer. It's a veil. And as soon as we break through that veil, as soon as we go within and we remember who we are as spiritual beings, that beam shines out on the world. It's not a little spark that we have to seek to find. We are bursting, overflowing with this light, with the divine love of who we are. For we are awake and aware, and we are spiritually soaring. And so it is, my friends. God bless you.
This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.